All right. So first off, I just want to say thank you guys for showing up. We're glad that we get to have you here and that we have this opportunity for you guys to ask questions. I just want to start by saying it truly is a courageous thing for our students to be sitting here and being willing to share their perspective and to share parts of their stories with you guys, whether that be advice or just personal like testimony as to like what their lives have been like. So thank you guys for coming, and really students, thank you guys for being willing to share. There, one thing I do wanna say is anything that our students say here at this panel, I want to respect and have us understand that nothing that they say is wrong, because they're simply sharing their perspective. And so I know that I have a personal tendency to like want to correct people when they say something. I'm like, I disagree with that. But our students are sharing their perspective. And so this is an opportunity for them to share with you, not necessarily a time for us to course correct or anything like that. So I just want to start us with that understanding before we move forward. And before we begin, I would just like to pray for our time together. So would you bow your heads and pray with me? Jesus, thank you so much for just giving us this time and this space to be together and to just think about life. I thank you for the courage that you've put in these students' hearts to be willing to sit in front of a strange group of people and be able to share their perspective and the way that you've worked in their lives just with us, God. So we thank you so much for giving them the courage. I pray for good questions and for good answers as well, God. I pray that some of our curiosities are fulfilled and maybe even other conversations begin out of this, God. So again, how lucky we are to have this time and space to be able to sit and just talk about life together, God. So we thank you and we praise you. Amen. All right, so my name is Matt, by the way, and I will be facilitating our conversation, maybe interjecting if need be, but mostly just here to facilitate what we've got going on. So let's go ahead and start. We're gonna have each of our students introduce themselves. So let's go with your name, where you're from, what grade you're going into, and then one fun thing you like to do. So name, where you're from, grade, and something fun that you enjoy doing. We'll start here closest with me.
Hi, my name is Blake. I'm going into my junior year. Let's see. I'm from Kirkland, Washington. It's near Seattle, for those of you who don't know. And one of my favorite things to do is Boy Scouts. I'm really into that. It's a lot of fun. Yeah, getting to meet other kids.
Hello, my name is Alan Gary. I am from Visalia, California. I'm going to be a junior, and I like listening to music.
Hi, I'm Izzy Spangler, and I'm from Elk Grove, which is right outside of Sacramento. I'm going to be a senior in high school, and a fun thing I really like to do is dance.
Hi, I'm Savannah Kensinger. I'm also from Visalia, California. I'm going to be a senior this coming year, and I like to watch TV.
Nice, awesome. We all like different things.
Someone's finally honest.
Perfect. All right, so guests, I'm going to open it up to you guys. Feel free to ask away, ask a question, and if you guys need a clarifying question.
So my experience has been really positive, actually. I found a lot of my classmates are really, I guess, open to listening, like to people talk about their faiths and for me to talk about my faith. But I know that there are some people, I mean, there's gonna be people everywhere like this, but that just really want to, cause problems and, start an argument. But I've had a really positive experience, and I just think if you're like representing Christ well and you're being kind and a positive influence in a public school or situations like that, people will really see that and notice that. And then it's, I found then people aren't going to want to challenge your faith as much. That's been my experience. But.
I like, it's not technically a public school, but I go to a preparatory high school that's on a college campus. So I have to be with people from community college as well as people from high school. And it's a lot of what she says. It's a lot of, if you don't force your religion down their throats, then they literally don't care. They're like, as long as you're not in my space, they don't care. And sometimes, like, I have been asked questions before where they'll be like, oh, well, this means, and it's very, like, I guess, like, it's little bits, but as long as you're just, like, being nice, then people become more into it. Like, at my school, we have a club called Axe Club that all the, like, kind of more Christian people are able to go, and we, like, do, like, a Bible study thing once a week, and people will ask questions to Axe Club about, and like things, especially since we do a lot of things for community and we do a lot of things for the school as well. So kind of just being a positive influence as well as not like forcing them to go or forcing them into the religion. It's very much like, hey, like, because you're so nice and because we're friends just on a normal basis, like, what do you think about this? And as long as you just keep it really casual, it's fine.
Do you have anything to say, Blake?
Well, personally, my dad's a pastor, and so whenever religion comes up, I try to represent Christianity, and whatever the other kids say, I always try to have an answer about it. But to be honest, it doesn't really come up too much, and so if we're looking to spread faith in the schools, it's going to really take a lot of us like going out there and trying to spark those conversations. But it can get kind of awkward if you're always trying to bring it up. So it's like, it's really just about looking for those opportunities to bring it up or talk about it. Or if you hear something in class, you can, like, I've done it before, I've talked about how the Bible relates to whatever we're talking about in English class, and it's worked out pretty well.
Awesome, thank you, Blake. Do you have a question in the front?
Yeah, I'm curious, what are one or two things that you deal with in high school?
The problem?
Problems. Mm-hmm. Challenges, whatever.
So, I dealt a lot with, and I can't speak for everyone in saying this, but I dealt a lot with anxiety, and that which I know a lot of people have in high school, where there's such a, like, you have to get good grades, and you have to be able to fit in, and you have to do extra stuff, that it becomes very overwhelming. So, like, and I'm a PK too, so I work on church on the weekends, so I don't ever get a break. So it's school all week long, and sometimes, like, what seems just like, oh, you only had, like, one essay, well, then, like, the one essay, like, builds up in your brain, and it seems like it's not a lot, but it just kind of pushes on you, so that's hard. And also, because of anxiety, you tend to, like, shove it off, I guess, which procrastination is another thing most people deal with. So a lot of anxiety, and then I also know that, like, there's not really bullying in a sense that much anymore, but there's a lot of, like, feeling left out. So it's really weird because you're already dealing with, like, the school anxiety and stuff, but then there's the anxiety in that there's these people that you're friends with, but, like, you're not quite sure, and you're, like, you want to hang out with them, but they're not, like, explicitly inviting you. And it's, like, it's not so much that people are being mean to you and that you feel left out in situations. So that's another thing that I dealt with for, like, the most, like, the beginning of high school, mostly in my lower classmen years, where it was a lot of where you just feel completely left out. And yeah, so it's just being left out, and then anxiety about school and stuff.
I found too that grades are like a big stressor in high school. Like that's always like making sure everything is done on time. That's always something that I'm concerned about. But like socially wise, kind of what you're talking about with like you have friends, but you're not like sure how good of friends you are, I guess. I feel like recently this past year, I've kind of been realizing there's some people who I've only been friends with because I saw them 5 days a week at school. And it's kind of sad because you realize that there are these people that you hang out with and spend time with, but they don't know you fully or in like the depth that you wish you had friends know you. So I found that that's a challenge I faced, and I think a lot of other people that I know have been struggling with as well.
I'd love to answer, but my answers are the same as theirs. So I actually Savannah went to the high school that I currently go to before she transferred. And I was previously homeschooled, so I have that self-motivation and drive from that. And going into my freshman year of high school, I was not accepted at all. I was shoved to the side and stuff, and it was really hard. And still, I struggle to find friends and stuff. It's getting a little better, but I go to a private Christian school, and people expect that to be, oh, it's a Christian community. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. Well, I think it's as much or worse than a public school because there's different levels of Christians, if they all are, and it's just really hard because I'm that one person worshiping in the front of chapel and everyone's judging you from the back. It's really hard. Yes.
So at your school, is there a requirement that these students make a Christian profession before they come to school or just take on anybody who can pay the fee?
The principal goes through an application process and they have a meeting. That's what I went through, and he just says, how are you plugged into your church and stuff? So they could have given a false answer. I know that we have Catholics at our school, so I don't know. I'm not the principal.
That was a good answer, thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
So at my school, personally, I don't experience too many issues except for with like the not too many issues with like the way teachers are teaching things and stuff, but I think, let's see. So a lot of the issues that come from school are for me, aren't social issues. So for me, I have a lot of friends and, I like to hang out with them and I'll just see them on the way to class and things like that. And some of them I don't even share classes with. And so it's mostly about just, for me, I like to be a really positive influence. And I think positivity is like the number one thing that any, like if you wanna have friends and if you wanna be liked and things like that, I think being positive is definitely the number one thing that anyone can do to improve their life and other people's. I go to a public school.
Yeah, that's an add-on question. I'd like to ask what you answer. What your answer would be, how do you deal with that?
So how do you deal with, yeah.
How do the other ones?
I just pretty much be myself. Like, I know that's kind of a harsh thing to do. Like, you better like what I do to accept me, but I feel like that being who I am is more important than changing myself to make them like me. So in Blake's case, he's a positive influencer and that gets him friends. I'm a positive influencer and I lose friends. It's that hard.
No. Not too many of my friends from Scouts go to school. So Scouts is kind of it's a place that I can go and I can I learn skills, like life skills, from Boy Scouts, and I'm currently working on my Eagle, and it's hard, and it's just about struggling together. And as a patrol, we'll go to different competitions, sometimes at camps, and that's really about like learning to work together and learning to build each other up.
Ladies, do either of you want to share how you...
I kind of like have an add-on for like what Alan was talking about, because I went to CVC, is what it's called, for 7th, 8th, freshman and sophomore year before I transferred, because it didn't matter how like positive I tried to be. I was actually, I was depressed for the entirety of those 4 years, because people, you can try to be positive, but then there's the people who are just nasty, and sometimes you fall and you stumble, and then there's the people on the other side who are like what they, I guess, envision is like the embodiment of the Bible, and they have to tell you that you like messed up and you're wrong and I can't believe you did that. So it's, and like, it's so hypocritical, because those same people can be the ones that are tearing you down. So you can try to be positive, and then people, if you, sometimes if you're positive, people will shove you into the like, oh, you just think you're better than all of us because you read the Bible more. It's just like, no, I'm just trying to be positive. And no, because, and then like the only people like that you're able to talk to, if you, it's just most of the time the people that you're able to talk to end up not being good influences. Because like they're the realest ones there are the people that are like not super Christian, even though they say they are. So it's a lot of that. And I guess like how I dealt with it is I left the school. I don't know. It was very bad. And we did a lot of things where we sat down with the principal, and we sat down with administration, and like we basically forced CVC to do stuff about suicide prevention and stuff like that, because there was a couple suicides that happened at our school that our school shoved under the rug and didn't talk about. And because I was very depressed and was borderline suicidal at the time, we basically forced them to do something about it. And then even after a year, or like a year and a half or so, of teachers and administration trying to do something about it, it still didn't help with the kids. And the only way I could get out of that environment is just to leave. So sometimes it wasn't even positivity that could help me through it. It was just moving situations.
And I want to point out that most public high schools, they have about 1,000 students in each grade. So it's like a huge high school. Our high school has a total of 200 students. So we have 60 students per grade, and we're stuck with these people all day long. So we can't exactly choose our friends. We can't, yeah, we can't get away from it. So we have to face them. Yeah, so I've actually like understood how to answer that question this week. So when I was homeschooled, we have a Christian family. So we go to church every Sunday. We're like the Christian family. So when I was homeschooled, up until the end of eighth grade, it's all Christian based, and we did Bible and everything, so it was all Christian impact. But as soon as I moved to CVC, I found myself struggling to find God, because it was not inputted into my life by my mom, who is my teacher. I had to find that, and going to youth group and church every Sunday, that was just fueling up myself because I couldn't get that during the week anymore. So I had to like find that. So that's how I found that.
I think the number one thing that you guys can do to help us is supporting us with whatever happens, and if like always be open to when we ask for help, because that is like, so there's a difference between needing help and wanting help. So some people need help but they aren't willing to receive it, and some people know they need help and they want help. And so it's really learning to know when to, and recognizing when we need help and when we want help. So let's see. For example, me, I've always done sports and stuff like that. And my parents, whenever I want to do a sport, they're always out there supporting me, and they're always willing to put whatever they want, whatever it takes for me to succeed at that sport. So they're always behind me. They're always there to help me with whatever I might need. Or going to the games, I wouldn't really say the practices, because then that's like, you could be doing something better in your time. Practices are pretty boring sometimes. But, showing up to their games, always being like following them throughout their life, whatever it takes. But sometimes you have to recognize when they may not want you there, and that's when you need to back off and take it a little bit slower, but be positive.
So another thing for me is because of the school I went to, I kind of I got pushed away from the faith a little bit. It was kind of a hard thing for me to want to stay in when I see all these people who are not genuine. A thing I guess that was helpful for me was because whenever I would like mess up, my mom would use the Bible to like put me back on the right path. But all it did was like make me resent the Bible, because it was just telling me everything I did wrong. And I look at it now, like if you are talking to a friend that you met at work or you met at like, I don't know, wherever, but you wouldn't, like if they're talking to you, you wouldn't immediately after they started talking about things be like, oh, you're wrong, and here's what the Bible says. Like, it's kind of like, can you be my parent first and help me through this issue, and then show me, like, because I'm not saying to not show the biblical side because it's important, but sometimes when you automatically go to the biblical response, it feels like you're just using it to reprimand me, and it feels like a form of punishment rather than a religion that I'm choosing to be a part of. So using the Bible this is everything you're doing wrong isn't beneficial, if that makes sense.
Okay, so also kind of in addition to what Blake was talking about, as far as like support goes, I think that's so important in really like helping your kids develop their faith more, because, well, I'm a pastor's kid too, so that's three of us, yeah. And I've always...
Sorry, Alan.
It's okay, Alan. You're still loved.
I feel like a pastor's kid. My dad's almost adopted you at this point.
I've been felt like I've been struggling kind of with my individual faith recently, because I felt like being a pastor's kid and just growing up in the church, I was, you know, doing what I thought I had to do to, you know, be, you know, the pastor's kid. And like, I felt like I was taking things for granted, like, you know, just even the fact that Jesus died for our sins, like my sins, I would just feel like that is just a fact and really not recognize it as like he really did die like for me. And so I think that's really important to like give some space to, so like your kids are feeling like they have room to develop their individual faith and relationship with God, because for a long time I felt pressure to have the relationship that my mom and dad had with God, and that's just, you know, never going to be a reality, because every person's, you know, walk with God is going to be different. So just like the space to grow and not feel so pressured to just feel the exact same way about some things. Yeah.
Did that answer your question?
So it's not just me, it's Lord, you know. That's an over exaggeration to prove a point, but still, it's the methodology is the same, you know. I want to be careful of that.
Yeah, maybe it would be helpful. How about each one of you share just one thing that has impacted you in developing your individual faith? So kind of developing out of kind of your family circle of faith, what's something that has worked for you in pursuing your personal faith?
If I may, this time where my boys are, you know, 14, 15, or just 16, I'm thinking, sometimes they do something, I'm like, do you even have faith? Like, I know early in your life you accepted Christ into your life, and that was a, you know, but there's still time, like, man, if you really love the Lord, you wouldn't do that. Or, you know, I'm just being raw, you know, and it's like, man, it's so important that you're like, man, I just, you know. So that's where the question kind of comes from.
Yeah, definitely.
So, I guess learning to accept your kids no matter what happens. Like, whether they've started like doing drugs or something horrible like that. Like, they've like learning, like, no matter what, like the prodigal child, like, they all, if they come back, accept them with open arms.
I kind of want to add something on. I think the best thing my dad ever did to help me spur my faith along was saying that he would love me even if I decided I wasn't going to be a Christian anymore, because it didn't make me feel like my family's love for me was based on whether I was a Christian or not. So even though he would say that he wanted me to be a Christian and he would support me in my faith, he would also support me in whatever decision I decided, even though he wouldn't necessarily agree with it, but he would still be there with me. And I think that's what allowed me to say, okay, like, I'm allowed to choose for myself, and it's not like I have to do exactly what my parents say. So, like, and I'm still going through the process of like what my faith is, so, but it gives me the opportunity that maybe my faith can be very loosely based around my parents' faith, or it can be different in its own way. And it can, I don't know, it gave me the ability to know that my faith didn't have to be exactly what they wanted it to be. So kind of going on the devotional thing, I wanted to say something earlier, but I'm just going to stick it in real quick. my parents don't have us do a set-aside devotion, but they, because they also know that we're teenagers, and if you don't tell us to do something, we won't. So what they do is they kind of, especially when we're teenagers, it's a little bit easier to do devotions if I'm alone. So my mom has given me so many books to read. So like I have like a stack where I've read like the first four chapters and I haven't finished. But just stuff like that where like it's like encouraging me, but not being like, okay, we're doing this right now, because at times where it's been, oh, we're doing this right now, it's very much like, oh, I'm in trouble, I'm not doing something correct. And it's like, because I work at my church, and I work in the kids ministry, and my mom does devotion in the morning with the kids ministry staff. And every single time I'm like, my mother is looking at me when she is saying this. All right, just do that in front of all my coworkers. So it's like when you point out, or I guess it's kind of like pointing out our flaws using the Bible like that. So sometimes, especially since as teenagers, we tend to overanalyze that now. I think it's better in that, for me at least, that it was encouraging us to find devotion in our own time. And even if it's like, hey, this is your set aside time to do devotion, go do devotion, but it's them. It's not a family thing. And maybe they can decide, but I think you have to play that by ear, that they have to decide if they want to do family devotion, not if you guys want to do family devotion, because right now they're figuring out their faith and they're not quite sure where they fit in with yours yet, and because they don't even know their own. So.
Yes.
So I'm gonna be like real a second here. I've gotten in trouble with social media stuff before. So that's fun, but it's kind of, let's just share that with the world. No, it's, I'll be loose. I'm pretty blunt. no, but I think, I don't know, just like the fact that my dad made a social media and follows me on social media kind of puts me in line sometimes. So like sometimes like I'll go to make a post and I'll just be like, my dad will see this post. All right, let's change this wording, okay? So like it's like, even if it's not necessarily like bad, but it just kind of keeps me in line there. I'm very sorry to your 15-year-old. I'm ratting her out right now. You're able to make more than one social media account, and it's very easy to switch between them. So I'm not saying like lurk on their phone, because that breaks their trust very easily. But if you're a part of their life, and if you're asking questions about what they're interested in, because the account I made was a fan account based off of something that I was really interested in. And because of that, my parents knew I had one, because I would talk about it to them. Yeah, Instagram. Mm-hmm. So because my parents wanted to know what I would, like, just, it wasn't like a, hey, what are you up to? It was like, hey, like, what are you watching? What's it about? Like, stuff like that. It allowed me to want to talk to them more. So a lot of, like, being able to, like, I guess guide them on social media is just making sure that they feel comfortable enough to tell you about it. Because like just going through their phone, breaks trust. I have broken my trust with my mother over and over again on both sides because she's gone through my phone or I have done something and then she doesn't trust me anymore. And it just goes on forever. So just making a relationship and just kind of being there in those situations, then they should tell you. And there's been times where like I've done something and then I felt guilty about it. And then because I had a relationship that was close enough with my dad, I was able to be like, Dad, I really need to talk to you about this because there was that open relationship. And so I don't think there's a whole lot you can do social media wise except for in any other situation that you would in real life. There has to be a relationship where they tell you, because if you just go and find it and take it for yourself, then they're not going to trust you ever. So my parents know the passcode on my phone, and I know that they have the ability to look at my phone whenever they want to. So, and I think that's fine. But the thing is my parents hardly ever use it because, first of all, I know that. And second of all, I do have that relationship with my parents, which I tell them everything anyways. So I think that that's fine as long as it's not like, oh, I'm spying on you and I don't know about it. And though I'd prefer not to be spied on every inch, I think the just being able to open your phone and being able to look at it, I think that's okay. I don't know. As long as it's like known on both sides and it's kind of, I don't want to say like agreed upon because they're going to be like, no, don't go on my phone. I don't want that. So I don't know. But like, I don't know. Like I'm pretty okay with it because I already tell my parents everything anyways. So it's because of that relationship. So my parents hardly ever use it because of that.
My parents make me put my phone and devices on like a table in the kitchen every night. Mm-hmm. So I don't have them as an alarm. I can't have them at night. So during that time, I assume they might go on it. I really don't think they do. But if they do, I wouldn't know. But it's out there. And so that mindset that they could look through my phone helps me know that I shouldn't be doing anything because I shouldn't be doing anything bad. Also on Instagram, I have two accounts. One account is my personal account, but then another account I created is a kind of, it's called Words of Faith. It's like a little devotional account. I post a little bit every day during the school year. And I use that as like my devotional because I don't have a set devotional book or anything. So I would read a piece of the Bible or I would find a quote or something that would relate to Jesus or something like that. And I would post it. And it's just a way to remind myself and put myself in the mindset that people could potentially hear about Jesus through this, and so I should post every day. Therefore, I should read my Bible every day, and it helps me that way.
So I think the biggest thing that can be done to help with the whole social media issue is learning to treat your kids, like as they grow up, more and more like a friend, because if you're treating them like a friend, like, yo, Alan, what's up, man? Sorry. Okay. Yeah, so just like getting to know them like a friend would get to know somebody else. Like, you need to do that because it's like, it's kind of creepy, to be honest, like knowing that somebody could like be spying on you. Like, nobody wants to be spied on. And like, it's not a good feeling. And it's like the whole like Facebook, like data scandal that's been in the news, like all over the place. Like, how do you feel knowing that someone knows what you're doing? Mm-hmm. Like, it's not a good feeling. Nobody likes it. So I think you need to really, like, pay attention to, like, what they're doing, and having a watching eye isn't always the best idea. So if you can really, like, learn about, like, what they're doing, like, based on their actions, like, if they've started, like, maybe, like, spending a lot of time on their phone, then, like, you need to, there has to be a limit at some point, but you need to learn to, like, not say, put your phone down. You need to say, come over here, we're gonna go play Frisbee outside or something. You need to be positive, because if you're talking negatively, put your phone down right now, we're gonna go play Frisbee, then nobody wants to do that. So I think it's learning to draw them out with positivity and just being a friend. Yeah, draw them out through the relationship you have with them.
Yeah, I know it's kind of been mentioned before, but I really think trust is the most important thing, because it feels so nice when I feel like my parents trust me, and, like, you know, sometimes out of the blue my mom will, like, say something, and I'm like, but I feel like I've never done anything to, like, show her, like, oh, I might be doing, like, bad things. But it's just, like, that just creates such a really open and positive relationship where I feel like I can talk to my parents, because I feel like they trust me, and they trust some of the decisions that, like, I'm making for myself. And also just trust that some of the things that you've taught your kids will stick with them, because I've noticed, like, even though there are some, like, relatives who follow some of my social media accounts, I've made decisions on, like, what I should share based more on, like, oh, that's right or that's not right, rather than, like, oh, who's gonna see this. That's just been my personal experience.
I kind of want to say one thing about the internet scandal or whatever. People always laugh at my joke, I guess is what it's called, in class, when my English teacher is talking, oh, it's like this really dramatic thing that's happening. And I'm like, my parents do the exact same thing. I'm not scared of the government doing it. My parents already do it. Like, it's like, honestly, I don't even, like, it's not scary to me because it already happens. And I'm like, wow, congratulations. You're going to find out I binge eat, like, and watch Netflix all day. Wow, congratulations. But... big revelation. No, I was going to say another thing, but I kind of threw myself off there. No, but it's kind of, oh no. Also be careful, kind of with that. I have friends where I become legitimately worried about them because I hear enough times where it's just like, oh, my mom reads my text conversation, so be careful what you say. Where it worries me as a friend that I think that they're in an abusive situation. Because the fact of the matter is sometimes, which it's hard to tell because sometimes it's just an overprotective parent, and sometimes it's a parent that's legitimately watching over their kids like that because they don't want their kids to have anything outside of their own family life. So not even from an outside view, from a kid's perspective, there's been times where I felt like I don't have privacy and I'm not allowed to be a human being outside of my family because of, like, enforcement that is put on over it. And I've had more conversations with my parents and it has been brought back and there has been more of a relationship brought up. But sometimes from an outside perspective or even from your kid's perspective, it can feel like, I use the term abuse very lightly, but it can feel kind of abusive to them. So, yeah.
It sounds like important things to take away from that are just positivity, trust, and relationship in the parent-child social media kind of pairing. So thank you guys for your insight on that. Do we have other questions from the crowd?
I sit in my room and my parents get mad at me for it.
It's true though.
I was homeschooled and I was a very independent, I learned to be an independent learner. So I would take my books and stuff and go in my room or on the couch or at my desk. And that would be my solitude throughout the day. And then I would be cool to hang out with the fam at night. But now that I go to school, I'm with people all day long. And then when I come home, I don't want to hang out with you guys. I need to do my homework. I want to sit on my bed and just sit. I realize that I have a family at home and that I need to spend time with them. But at the same time, I feel like we should be respected of our own time and what we need because we've been around people all day. And it just depends on if your child is an introvert or an extrovert.
Yeah, I agree with that. Because I personally find a day of school really exhausting, just like between the learning and then people. and yeah, so when I come home, I just want to like lay down and not really think that hard about anything for a while until I really have to go and like get things done. So yeah, it's like if that's happening like with your kids, like it's nothing personal. It's just we're really tired.
I would also be careful that all of your time that you spend with them, because they are tired and they do want to spend time, make sure that the time you spend with them is fun. And it's not always like, how's your grades? Because for the longest time, I would come home from school and I'm tired. And especially when I went to my old school where the days at school sucked. And I would come home and my parents would be like, what was your day like? How are your grades? And I'm like, I don't want to talk about this. Like, I want to go lay down in my room. Like, it's kind of... Like, I always joke with my mom because my mom, like, when she goes, like, shopping, she'll come home and be like, I'm tired, I'm going to go lay down. And I'm like, I'm not able to lay down, though. Why am I not able to? No, but because make sure that the time that they spend with you is enjoyable so that they'll want to spend time with you. Because when it feels like it's always like, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? You don't want to. When I was at my old school, because it was sucked at school and because it was always enroaching on my time at home, the only like solitude I felt was on the bus, because I didn't feel like comfortable at school and I didn't feel comfortable at home. So that extra time that I spent with my family, I'll talk to you guys, but like, can we like keep the grade conversation to once a week, please? Like, yeah.
Also about the grade thing really fast. I know sometimes when I don't have a great grade, my parents will like ask me about it and then I feel they'll like get upset at me and it's like, I'm working on it. Like I'm gonna improve it. So I think it's important to just like acknowledge that some things do take like more time to fix and it's not, you know, permanent, because that's been a stressor like for my life.
And just with everything that we've been talking about, just be supportive for something like that, because maybe your child is just going through something right now, or they're just not the best student as you want them to be, but we need to be supportive of that. I don't mean we, like I'm a parent, I'm just saying.
You're trying to tell us something. We call that the royal we.
It's learning to accept your child for whoever they are, and if they want to do something and you maybe think it's not the best decision, you need to, you can't say, no, don't do that, because that will just make them more secretive about it and whatever they're doing. And so you need to learn to approach them like a friend, and it's that relationship that you have with them and growing that, because if that is weak, then you're not going to be able to do anything without them backing off.
And sorry, I was just going to say, it is different when you're kids. When we're kids, there's like my dad's a family pastor, so I see graphs and stuff all the time for this. But it's like when they're kids, they do need that like more like, no, you're not going to do that. You're going to stay. But when you reach like that like 12, 13 area, that's the time where if you say, no, don't do that, they're just going to hide it, because they're starting. So it's more of like, okay, well, why do you think that? And then make them think about it logically. And sometimes they can be set in a decision, and then they're set in that decision for like 2 years. And as long as you're like there with them and like, hey, like we're working through this, and just making it like I don't want to say like it's not a big deal, because sometimes it is a big deal, but making it so that you're just there with them in this situation and not being a barrier, then it's a friend relationship, and it'll go so much smoother, because the fact is, if you try to tell us no, we're just going to do it anyways, and we're just going to do it without you being there. And it's kind of like in like posts, I guess you'll see, where people are like, I want to be the type of parent that, like, I just want you to text me if you're at a party and there's alcohol or something like that. I just want you to text me if that happens. But it's like, if you're just like, no, 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 then it's just like, oh, you're just going to be secretive about it. And I'm not saying that that's like the largest, whatever, far out there, like, thing. But if you're like, hey, like, I know you're going to this party, text me if you need help, is a lot more effective than saying stop, don't. Because while that works when we're younger, it doesn't work now.
Yeah, we've got time for one more question, so take it away.
So what's the best discipline leverage your parents have used that has not estranged you or pushed you away, but yet you allowed you to respect maybe their direction for your life, that there is an adult or saying, you know what, you can't get an F in this grade the entire year, and now you need to retake next year. So I need, as a parent, you're not going to be able to do this. Or, like, so, you know, we love you as a parent, and we want to be that friend, but we also have to be a parent. Mm-hmm. So yeah. How do we do that? We don't want to estrange you, and we want to respect you as an adult, but we also want to kind of motivate mm-hmm. you to say, you don't understand X, Y, Z, so help teach me as a parent, what would that look like about pushing my son away?
So this last semester, I took my first ever college class, and I failed it, which was not fun to explain, because I waited until report cards came in to tell my parents that that happened. So that was fun. But in the past, my parents have taken my phone away, and it seems like the automatic response, especially in this day and age where a lot of our lives is spent on the internet, so it seems like it's something that's easy to take away. But it hasn't gone over well in the past, in when I've gotten it taken away. So I wouldn't say to take their phone away, but for my mom and my dad, is I read a lot on my phone. And so my parents said, because you're not reading books like you should in your class, instead you're reading on your phone, we're not taking your phone away, we're asking you not to read anymore on your phone. And so rather than taking away the entire privilege and taking away like my entire life, it was taking away, which, yes, I know, it's weird that I called my phone my entire life. I know, it's an addiction, I need help, I got it. Okay. So just taking, I hate using the word taking away, but my mom's asking me to focus more on something else. And so she's not saying that it's gonna be gone forever, but she's saying like, hey, when you're trying to make this grade up, let's not do this anymore, because it's taking away from your time, and it's, and like, I'm still able to do like the other stuff that normally it would entail, but it's like, I just don't do that anymore, and let's focus on this. And then kind of with grades also, it's again not the grade thing every day, but something that like immensely helped me is my mom just got me a planner, and she like once a week is fine, like was like, hey, like how are you doing with your homework? Are you keeping up with it? And then she would talk to me about it and make sure that I was keeping up with it. And based on if I was able to keep up with it, I was able to get that privilege back. So it wasn't necessarily like taking my phone away or taking away, like I was still able to hang out with friends and I was still able to do those things. It was just taking a little thing away that was encroaching on my time and saying, we need to take better use of your time, rather than it being a punishment. It was you aren't using your time correctly, so let's think about how we can use your time correctly in the future.
And also, for as far as like punishments go, I really do think a big part of that is the way that you approach talking about whatever the problem is, because like I know for me, if my parents were will just like sit me down and like be really calm and say like, hey, I'm seeing this as a problem and like, you know, it can't happen anymore. Like that's a lot easier for me to like deal with when I feel like it's like they're not just so angry at me. It feels more of like a manageable problem because usually it's like I have that issue and then I feel like my parents are mad at me too. So then it's like kind of like doubled in a way. But just like also being supportive and like offering like, oh, well, so you're not doing well in this class. Like, what can I do to help you? Like, do you need extra tutoring and things like that rather than just like, you know, getting in a big argument about it. And I know you're saying don't like take phones away, Savannah, but okay. Anytime my mom has said, oh, if you don't stop that, I'm going to take your phone away. I've responded. Yeah. It's like that.
Yeah.
So that's, I guess it depends on the person.
It's my life. Okay.
Well, thank you guys. I'm going to cut it off right there. So I just want to say, I know. They still exist. You can find them around camp. So I just want to say, students, thank you guys so much. It really does take a lot of courage. So let's give them a hand. We really do appreciate your perspective and your wisdom in being able to speak to your experience and your perspective, and it really is appreciated. Guests, parents, thank you guys. Those were great questions, and I pray that it was helpful for you guys in wherever you're at. So I just want to close our time just in a quick prayer, and then we'll skedaddle. Jesus, again, thank you that you create sacred spaces in non-sacred places, God. We thank you that you brought these students here to share their perspective and what it's like to just be them, God. I pray that the things that we learn are things that stay with us. And I pray that we gain new perspective into the life of a high schooler right now, God, because it's different than when we were there. So we thank you and we truly praise you for the beautiful creation that is these high schoolers and are all the students here, God. They really are special, and I pray that we continue to see that as we move on through the rest of the week. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.